Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Well, today it's John Beener. Thanks for joining us. Hey, another great show today. We're talking about miracles from heaven. If you're looking for the bad news, who shot who, all that crazy stuff that gets reported in the newspapers or in the media, or who are they following to try to get the worst news and who said the worst things to who, well, we're not covering those things. We got some recovery stories from some of that junk that happens, but God is in the purpose of teaching us, leading us, guiding us. Jesus Christ is around us. All we have to do is be asking for his help, seeking him, surrendering to him. Then it makes a whole lot easier life. Anyway, today's theme is miracles from heaven. There was a movie by that name actually in 2016 of an incredible story of a mother and a daughter, and it was turned into a big movie, Christy and Annabelle Beam, B-E-A-M, out of Texas, Burleson, Texas. Never been there, not far from Fort Worth, evidently, but the movie made money, was successful. Jennifer Garner is the one who starred as the mother in the movie. But anyway, we got three episodes from that, and then we have an episode of a woman who actually died in a car crash, but her sister wouldn't give up on her. That she laid in a coma. They saw no signs of life for 3 days. And then finally, after a prayer team of faith, all of a sudden they started to see life. She came back to life after a visit from heaven again. And then another miracle story of a guy named Bruce Van Netta. Amazing story of a guy who was really should have been dead three times. And angels came after him and cut his body in literally half under a truck that fell on him underneath while he was trying to do repairs on it. Anyway, incredible stories here. We're in the miracle business with the Lord Jesus Christ, so hang in there with us. We'll get started here right away with the mother, as this is Christy Beam, sharing the story about her daughter. This is on a CBN interview. Listen in.
8-year-old Annabelle Beam lived in chronic pain. It was so bad, she said she wanted to die and go to heaven and be with Jesus. And a few days later, while playing outside with her sisters, that's exactly what happened. Now her story is being told on the big screen. Take a look.
The tests confirm that she's very ill. There is currently no cure for Anna's condition.
Doctor, please, this is our little girl.
I'm scared, Mom.
Me too. We're not giving up.
Like a small boat.
We need a solution. We need it now.
And we'll get it.
How?
By not losing our faith.
Free her from this. Can you even hear me?
This is my
So you're telling me that when this baby girl fell 30 feet, she hit her head just right, and it didn't kill her, and it didn't paralyze her. It healed her.
Yes.
Well, that's impossible.
This is a little hard to believe. There's a lot of people out there that are just looking for publicity.
A lot of people think we're crazy.
You either roll with it or you get rolled on.
Told me I'd be fine.
Who told you you'd be fine?
With us now is Christy Beam, and she's the author of Miracles from Heaven, the book that this movie is based on, and she's played by Jennifer Garner in the movie. Christy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Jennifer Garner is playing you in a movie that's going to be on the big screen. How crazy is that?
It is so crazy. I am so grateful and so blessed, and she is so amazing.
She's an amazing actress and a good person, I'm told.
She is.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Annabelle, your daughter who's featured in the movie. She's 13 now. She grew up with two incurable diseases that took her in and out of the ER for like several years. What was going on?
So Annabelle, when she was 4, started having what we call tummy troubles. And when she was 5, she fully obstructed abdominally. And then we just lived in and out of hospitals, doctors' offices. We got into the guru of pediatric gastroenterology in Boston, and we would fly to Boston every 4 to 6 weeks for treatments. She lived on the sofa in the fetal position with a heating pad on her stomach.
Could she eat anything normally? Like eat nothing?
Very little. Some days my prayer was just let Annabelle eat a plate of food throughout the whole day. Let that be her success. She struggled.
Well, one day your daughter was home and she was actually feeling pretty good this day, and she was out playing with her 2 sisters, and you were just happy that she was out playing, and then something awful happened. What happened?
Well, they were climbing trees, which is their favorite thing to do on our property, and they ended up climbing 30 feet in the air, and they were sitting on a branch 30 feet in the air. There was a hole in the other side of the tree where a branch had previously been that had fallen, and Annabelle sought refuge in that hole, not thinking that it was anything but a little bit shallow, but it actually was the entryway to the bottom of the tree, and Annabelle fell head first, and she fell 30 feet and was entombed in the base of this hollowed cottonwood tree on our property.
So she was in that hole for 5 hours, mm-hmm. and of course they had to come and rescue her and get her out. You took her to the hospital. What did the doctor say?
Well, they prepared me. They said that they've never had anybody fall 30 feet and not suffer paralysis or broken bones. Mm-hmm. But they ran one test after another, and Annabelle walked away with bruises and scratches and a minor concussion, but she was totally fine.
What did Annabelle say happened to her when she was in the hollow of that tree?
Well, later Annabelle shared with me, she just turned to me and she said, "You know, Mommy, I went to heaven when I was in that tree." Mm-hmm. And
did you believe her?
I said, "Really?" And really my first thought was, "How hard did you hit your head, baby?" You know, like, really?
Right.
But then the things she began to share and the things she began to say as a 9-year-old little girl, I knew what she said she lived.
She said that she actually saw some people.
She did.
Like a grandmother?
Yes. Or? Kevin's grandmother, Mimi. Yeah. And I had 2 miscarriages, and one was an actual viable pregnancy. And she said that she saw a little girl who looked just exactly like me and Abby, our oldest daughter. And she said that God said, "Annabelle, that's your sister."
That's incredible. Now, there has been some controversy about these visions or from heaven accounts. What do you say to people who may doubt the authenticity of her story?
No, I reply to that with Annabelle's answer, which is I don't say anything to those people because Annabelle lived it, and the proof is in Annabelle's life now. Annabelle is so healthy and so bright, and she's living a full, complete life. There is no denying the undeniable.
Well, what's incredible about this story and really the other twist is that fall, that seemingly horrific fall, ended up being a great blessing. How?
Because God used this dead, hollowed out, dying cottonwood tree to heal Annabelle from her 2 incurable digestive disorders.
How do you hit your head, die, go to heaven, come back, and you're cured after 4 years of these incredible, incurable illnesses?
No one can explain it. It just was part of God's plan. I feel like God used that tree to make a way, and he healed Annabelle. You know, our prayer was, and so many prayed for Annabelle's healing, and that was how he reached her. That was his vessel.
Yeah, and of course, in the movie trailers, they do such a great job of having the doctors just say, you know, we can't explain this, and
yes,
this must be a miracle. So,
absolutely.
Well, Christy, what inspired you to write your story and to make a movie?
Well, that's a great question. It was laid on my heart by God, and he laid it on my heart. And at first I said, no, I'm not a writer, but you know, I'm not, but thank you, God. But he wasn't playing. He didn't accept that answer. And,
thank you, God, for believing I could do
right,
this.
I just go. And he was like, yeah, you're going to do it. So I started, and I thought it was more cathartic for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was all that was going to happen, but he took it and he did truly amazing God things with everything.
What's the movie making a movie been like? How has that been for you and your family?
It's been overwhelming. You know, at times it's been so, so good because the girls, I know whenever we were on set at times, they saw their value in Annabelle's story. It wasn't anymore just Annabelle's story. It was about them too. It was our whole family's journey. And then it's been hard to relive some things that we were happy to put in the past.
Absolutely. And Annabelle, again, she's 13 now. She's the middle girl. Mm-hmm. And perfectly healthy.
Absolutely. She can eat anything, and it does eat anything and everything, and has no problems at all. Hasn't been back in the hospital with any GI issues whatsoever. Has no problems. She's totally healthy, on zero medications.
All right. Let me ask you. This might be a tough question. Now with the books out, the movies out, you're getting to tell this whole story about what God can do. Was it worth it, having to go through those years of pain and watching your daughter?
Mm-hmm. It's been so worth it, because I feel like it's not about me, and it's really not about Annabelle. It's about God showing people that he is so faithful, and that there is hope despite challenges and struggles, and we all have those. And so if this challenge in our life can help bring hope to others, it was worth it.
All right. Well, you can go further into the story by getting Christy's book that God told her to write. It's called Miracles from Heaven, and it's available nationwide. And, of course, don't forget to watch the movie adaptation. Christy Beam, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having
me. You are
a
blessing. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. That is, again, Miracles from Heaven is the name of the story. That's the theme of our show here today. Again, that's Christy Beam, B-E-A-M. She is the author, obviously. God told her to write the book. The Lord told me to write a book. And I said, Lord, I can't write a book, a chapter, maybe. You know I'm not a writer. Let me find a writer. I found two different ghostwriters who did a lousy job. And then I finally said, okay, God, I give up. I'll do it. You'll have to work through me. And that's what he wanted me to do. He wanted to say, I give up, and I'll work through you, you know. Use you. Use your strengths. Try to pull out the best out of you. That's a great example of never giving up. Miracles from Heaven is our theme here today. Jennifer Gardner, here's her. She's the movie star in the movie, the film Miracles from Heaven. And this is about returning to church and her family. This is a good little interview on today's show.
Jennifer Gardner stars in the new movie Miracles from Heaven. It's based on a true story told in a 2015 book of a young girl suffering from a rare incurable disease. And her mother, played by Gardner, searches relentlessly for a solution.
This is not acid reflux. She's not lactose intolerant. There's something wrong with our little girl.
Mrs. Beam, you need to calm down.
No, you calm down. You find me another doctor. You run some more tests. I'm not leaving this hospital until I know what's wrong with my daughter.
Jennifer Gardner, good morning.
Good morning.
You know how they used to give star ratings to a movie, like 3-star, 4-star, 5-star? I think this movie needs a tissue rating.
Oh.
And I give it a full 5 tissue rating, perhaps the whole box of Kleenex.
Oh, my gosh. It is a tearjerker. But there's a happy ending, though, right?
Well,
spoiler alert, it's
not
happy
a sad movie. That's
right.
It's not
right.
A sad movie. It's an emotional
it's
movie.
It's an emotional movie. It takes you on a roller coaster ride, for sure. And the amazing thing is this is a true story. You know, it's based on Christy Beam's beautiful book, Miracles from Heaven. And it takes you on the journey that her family went through when her daughter became ill.
First, it's a medical mystery.
Yes.
Then there's a miracle. I
yes.
don't want to give it away, but there is a happy ending.
Yes.
What did you like about the story?
I loved, well, first of all, I just love getting to know the real family.
Yeah.
And I fell head over heels for both Christy, Annabelle, and their other daughters, Adeline and Abby, and, of course, Kevin. They're just real salt-of-the-earth people. Mm. They're... you guys, I think, have met him, perhaps,
yeah.
But they are, Christy was a tireless advocate for her daughter, and you really are inspired by who she is as a mom.
There's a spiritual side to this movie, mm-hmm. because they are spiritual
right.
people.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked about it was, it's about faith, but it's also about doubt.
Yes.
It doesn't sugarcoat anything.
It doesn't, and it doesn't, it's not preaching at you at all, which I love, which was very important to me, that it presents a family for whom faith is a very important part of their journey, but it's not saying, you know, you have to believe a certain way to have anything.
Mm. Do you find going through this movie and living through it, did you find that your own perspective on things changed at all?
I mean, it's not something that I have ever spoken about before this
yeah.
film, so I still feel a little,
yeah.
But I grew up going to church every Sunday, and I took, you know, Ben and I took our kids home to West Virginia to be baptized in my family's church, and the thing about this film was it kind of encouraged me to re-engage mm-hmm. in just participating, and not just believing, but actually participating in raising my children so that they had the same background that my parents gave my sisters and me.
I was going to say, you had a great resource right there, because you're playing this woman, Christy Beam,
mm-hmm.
and she was there. So
she was
she like, you're like, what would
she done in this situation? Did you, were you able to call her? And
are you kidding me? It would be before a scene. I would be texting her and saying, would you actually say this? What would you do? I mean, I sat down with Christy. She was so generous with me. And I said to her, what do you take in your coffee? What hymns do you listen to? I definitely used her as a big cheat sheet.
What do you want people to take away from this movie? I think she has a really interesting message about what miracles are.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope that people see this film and leave feeling hopeful and leave feeling encouraged and leave feeling like they can put one foot in front of the other and get through something really, really tough. It's a love story between a mother and a daughter.
I was thinking, I have like zero tolerance for any story that has anything bad happening to kids.
Agreed.
It must have been, and you have daughters too, it must have been wrenching to go through it.
It was wrenching to go through it, absolutely. But I didn't have to look far or very deeply to remind myself that I was going home to healthy kids. Mm. I was pretending.
Yeah.
You know, there are moms sitting in hospital rooms right now all over the world watching their children suffer through something unimaginable. So it was the least I could do was pretend for Christy.
Another part of this is that you happen to be going through a hard time in your own life as you were shooting this film. And I think so many people just adore you, Jennifer.
Oh.
And I think they just want to know how you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
If they could give you a hug, I think they would.
Oh, that's very kind. Well, people have been so kind to my whole family, and we really do appreciate it. But you know what? We're doing really well. Thank you. The kids are great, and they're, you know, they'll be getting up and going to school soon, and Ben is there, and he'll be taking them, and we will make it work.
Seems like you're working hard at that. And it's not easy to go through something like that in the public eye.
You know what? It's not easy to go through it, period. I have found going through it in the public eye to just, it's just another facet of it. But for anyone, when your life shifts in any way, it's tricky enough. But I have found people to be so warm and loving that it hasn't been nearly as bad as you might imagine.
Jennifer Garner, it's great to see you. Miracles
it's great
from
to
heaven.
See you.
Great movie, really. Inspiring movie, true story, Miracles from Heaven. That's about Christy Beam and her daughter Annabelle. We'll have her on both of those on in a second. But it's inspiring, really, about persistence in Christ. Keep praying, never giving up. You know, the story she said about writing the book, I just related to the fact that I didn't think I could ever write a book either. Now that I've written three, I look at it as a joy to write a book. But this movie actually did make money. It came out in 2016. You can get it for $3 on YouTube. And you can watch it on your computer, or you can actually order it, get it in a DVD, I'm sure from Amazon or some other source. But inspiring movie, really exciting, really, when you talk and think about it, what they went through, but inspiring the faith that was generated from that. Actually going to heaven where the healing took place, because her daughter went to heaven and saw her grandmother there, and Christ, you know, put her on his knee. And wow, you got to believe when you hear all those stories, you know, especially from people that you know are friends or people you are real, you get to meet. And these are down-to-earth stories. So we had an incident, really, which was a miracle, when my wife had the kids in the car, and she was parking the car in front of the garage and somehow slipped out of gear, and our daughter had opened the back door to get out, and all of a sudden the car jerked back and my daughter fell and her leg was caught under the tire. Now, the amazing thing is that she got a neighbor and he finally got the car moved off her leg, but she was there for like 10 or 15 minutes. You know, with the car on her leg, you know, and I don't know how good screaming. I wasn't there at the time. I was at the office. And finally, my wife calls me from the hospital and tells me, and I go to the hospital, and the doctor says, hey, that the leg is absolutely fine. We can find no damage whatsoever. You know, the best thing we do is let her stay all night here at the Hospital Observer. And I said, gee whiz, that doesn't make any sense to me. But my wife had been screaming and praying out to God. During that time, I knew nothing about what was happening. But when I came home or came to the hospital and then came home with her, things just didn't blip. It was God. It was a miracle from God. We both look back on that day. Wow, what a time that was. Here's a little bit more with Christy and Annabella Beam. This is the daughter, Annabella, sharing more with her mom about telling about what was inside that tree and the circumstances.
I was clawing to get out of the tree, but every single time I did, I slipped. And I think when I slipped, I hit something and became unconscious again. And then I woke back up and I would hear something and then I would try again and become unconscious again. Hmm. And maybe that played a factor in it, but I remember one of the first things I remember being in the tree was whenever Abby, I had just like literally woken up and I had been in the tree, I guess 5 minutes, because I think it was before you had even come out, because Abby said, Annabelle, how are you? And like I didn't respond for a few minutes because I was like, where am I?
Yeah, sure.
And then I said, it's really hard to breathe. And so Abby said, Adeline's got a pipe and she's going to dig you out. And then I didn't remember anything else until whenever Abby was going like this on the tree and she was like, Annabelle, we're calling 911. We're going to get you out. And it just came in like bits and pieces like that.
Why was it hard to breathe? Were you having a hard time breathing or was the air just
Well, because
dampened?
It was like, it was muddy. It was just pure mud on the inside of the tree. And, like, there were, like, spaces that there weren't, but on the outside and on the floor and everywhere, there was just mud. And so it was, like, the air was really muggy and hard to breathe.
You were 30 feet from the only air hole.
Yeah, and yeah. I remember any time that I was awake, there was this little crack, and when it was right by a little stump that stuck out of the tree. And I would, like, try and crawl up there, and I would, like, put my lips against it and, like, try and take in some good breaths before I fell back down again.
So, at some point, you feel like you left the earth and visited heaven. Tell me how that happened.
Well, at first, the first thing I noticed was it was really bright. And then, whenever I kind of clicked that I was in heaven, it's because I saw my Mimi, who had died a couple of years back. And that's how it was kind of like, click, oh my goodness, I'm in heaven.
Did you think you were dead?
I wasn't really sure. I wasn't really like, oh my gosh, I just died or anything like that. I just wasn't really thinking. I was just like in such awe, like, wow, I'm in heaven. You know, I didn't really think, am I dead? Am I alive? Is this a dream or anything like that? And God said to me, Annabelle, the firefighters are going to get you out. And whenever they do, there will be nothing wrong with you. And at that time, I didn't know I won't have my diseases anymore. I thought, no paralysis, broken bones, broken neck,
sure, from
stuff
the fall.
Like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. From the fall. And then I asked God, because for like that little thing, I was like, wow, there's no pain here. Because like while the branch was breaking, I didn't want to make things worse. But Abby was like, Annabelle, you need to get in the hole. And I was like, Abby, my stomach's starting to hurt again. And so then whenever I was there, I was like, Jesus, can I stay here with you where there is no more pain? He said, no, Annabelle, I have plans for you on earth that you cannot fulfill in heaven. And so what was kind of going through my mind is I was like, why would you do this to me? Why would you give me this teaser of a fantastic rest of my life and then send me back down to all the pain and misery? Because it didn't really click. He's going to heal me. I was like, that's so mean. You're going to
send me back to the pain.
Yeah, give me a teaser of this perfect life in heaven for about 5 or 10 minutes and then send me back to this horrible, awful pain. And
but he gave her encouragement because he said, you know, Annabelle, I'm going to send my guardian angel to be with you and light the tree and to stay with you. And then Annabelle had told me, she shared with me the next day, she's just out of the blue, she said, you know, Mommy, I went to heaven when I was in that tree.
Okay, let me back up. So you get her out, the firefighters come.
Okay.
The firefighters get out safely out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just grateful that she doesn't have broken limbs or broken neck or any other damage from the fall.
Yes, because her stomach was so distended when they got her out, because now it's been hours since her medication. She was given medication every 4 hours around the clock.
And how long was she in the tree?
She was in for 3 hours for sure. And it had been a good two or three since I'd given her last dose. So she was hours without meds. And her stomach was very distended. And they thought when they got her out and we went in the helicopter for care flight, they thought she had ruptured her spleen because her stomach was so distended.
Right.
So they did every test, MRIs and x-rays and sonograms. They did everything. And the doctor even said, you know, Jesus must have been with that little girl in that tree because there was nothing. She didn't have one bug bite. She had scratches and she was wet and muddy, and that was it.
So how long until you realized that it was something more than just she was okay for the day?
Well, one of the things that I feel like God was really trying to give me lights and sirens, and I just missed it, was in the hospital that day, her stomach that night began to deflate right in front of my eyes. Without her medications, it just began to deflate. And it was not explainable. It wasn't because she had been given the correct medications. It wasn't because there was no reason for it. But even then, I didn't accept that.
Had it done that before at
no.
times? Was it, or was it pretty much always?
It was always. Well, it would deflate typically at
with
night
the medication?
With the medication and with rest, you know, with no food or liquid.
So you kind of just dismissed it.
How about that? God's in the miracle business, no doubt about it. It would be kind of neat to have an experience like that, even though you wouldn't want to go through the pain of it all, but and the shock and all the hysteria. But miracles from heaven, that's what we're featuring here on the show today. We're going to take a break here. Here's Darlene Shake and Shout to the Lord. Be back in a moment or two here.
No active accidents, but a disabled vehicle on the East Beltway to be aware of. It's 295 northbound at the Dames Point Bridge, and that's blocking the right lane. That could slow you down. Another disabled vehicle on the East Beltway, 295 southbound at St. John's Bluff, and a disabled truck on I-95 northbound at the exit at San Marco Boulevard. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, becoming mostly clear tonight. Low 67, Tuesday, sunny, the high 93.
Welcome back. It's John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. We're talking about miracles from heaven today. Pretty exciting stuff. Incredible stuff, in fact. Today's show is sponsored by Wise Counsel. Today, Wise Counsel works with Christian entrepreneurs and ministry leaders to help them grow their business, resolve, pray, to help one another in small groups. It's an exciting process. I've only been doing it some 30 years, and yeah, to call us, contact us, inspiration316.com, John at inspiration316.com. We're glad to tell you more about it. We're also looking for the top 25 entrepreneurs of the year, entrepreneurs of faith, and we're going to announce them. We're going to love you to nominate someone from your a businessman or a businesswoman or a ministry leader even. We'd love to have them as nominees as well. And we've already got some nominees. We're looking for 25 to be able to recognize in our September 3rd or September 6th, rather, boot camp meeting, Wise Counsel boot camp meeting right here at the Salem Center. So let us know. Go to John at Inspiration 316. Let us know who you want to nominate. You can also go right to that site. It'll have a little pop-up form you can use there, too. All right, we're talking about miracles from heaven. Here's a story, incredible story of real perseverance from God. A woman it dies in a crash, and her sister won't not let her die. It's an amazing story in the hospital. Amazing prayer. Listen to this.
Accident scene that had to do with semi-trucks. And so when I started waking up out of the dream, I was like, I could feel it was a dream from the Lord, and I felt burdened. And so I began to pray right away.
March of 2000, 2 months after Cheryl Schulke's dramatic dream, her sister Valerie Paters was in a freeway pileup near her home in Flagstaff, Arizona. Valerie's car was crushed under the weight of a semi-truck, and it took first responders several hours to extract her from the vehicle. A mutual friend was on the scene and got word to Cheryl that Valerie was unconscious and not expected to survive.
We hung up the phone, and the minute we hung up, I started praying. I said, God, how do you want me to pray for Valerie? And he said, pray that she will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord.
Those words from Psalm 118, verse 17, gave Cheryl hope as she prayed for her sister's life.
It stirred my faith to believe that the impossible was possible already, before I even saw her. So when I did see her, I was not moved by what I saw in the hospital, because I didn't even recognize her. But what moved me was the word of God.
A prayer chain quickly started as word spread through their church community. But when Cheryl got to the hospital, doctors gave her a grim report.
They pretty much told us she had, you know, we had no hope, that she was probably not going to make it. There was no brain activity. They kept her on life support to harvest her organs.
Cheryl would not give up. She gathered friends and continued praying for Valerie to wake from her coma.
I want those that I have already prayed with or one in spirit that will believe God's word, and we're going to go to war and we're going to pray over Valerie. And so we took a time one day, I think it was on a Wednesday, we went into the chapel and we took over the chapel, and the chapel became like a war room. We went in there and we just began to speak life over her. We prayed over her.
Their prayers continued for days, but there were no visible signs of improvement. Meanwhile, Valerie was experiencing a very different reality in heaven.
When I stepped into heaven, I mean, I hit the light, and I was literally blinded by the light. I'm blinded still today of the light of his presence. I stood up, I turned around, and there was Jesus. And I don't know if I ran to him or he came to me. I mean, all of a sudden we were there. He just smiled at me, and I felt all this emotion that he had for me. I finally felt like I was home. It was like I stepped into, finally, I belong. This is where I belong. I was home.
Valerie had been a Christian for most of her life, but says she never believed that God really loved her.
In my heart of hearts, I did not believe that I was worthy of his love. Because I always felt like I was never going to measure up to what I thought the Lord wanted from me. So when I felt his emotion, I felt how he felt about me, and the things that I thought about myself, like my flaws or my issues, he never even noticed. He just wants me. It wasn't anything that I did for him. It wasn't my performance, nothing. It was just me. I wasn't just loved by him, but he was in love with me. And I was his. That was it. I was done for. And I thought, but then realizing this is how he feels about his creation, those that he's created, whether they know him yet or not, this is how he feels.
Valerie says she felt like she was there for 1,000 years and experienced life and love like she never had on earth. Then Jesus told her she had to go back with a message.
He said, you can stay if you want to. And I said, well, if I can stay, I'm staying with you. I'm going to stay with you. And he said, but your purpose isn't done. And he said, I want you to tell the people who I am, who I really am. Because I thought he was, you know, religious. I thought he was mean. I thought he was I didn't think he was, you know, human. And he's human. He'll always be human. But he's God. I didn't want to leave him. I hated leaving, but I had to come back. And the next thing I knew, I was making, like, my descent back to the earth.
At the hospital days after the accident, the medical team began reacting to new signs of life.
And the doctor's checking. He's flashing the light in her eyes. And he looks at me and he said, "Get ready. I think your sister's coming back. I see some brain activity." I just began to rejoice. And I said, "Thank you, Lord."
Valerie soon woke up and experienced a miraculous recovery. 2.5 months after the accident, she walked out of the hospital, healed both physically and spiritually.
I know who I really am. And so when I had to deal with, you know, coming back with the suffering, my time with the Lord is what carried me through my recovery.
While Valerie was in heaven getting a revelation of the love of Jesus, I was on earth getting a revelation of the love of Jesus. There's a love that I've been experiencing, Jesus' love that I'd never experienced before as a Christian.
Cheryl and Valerie look back on their experience amazed and thankful for the answered prayers and love they each received in their time of need.
I was worth the price that he paid. That blew me away. We are worth the price that he paid for us.
It was the power of prayer to see God bring forth a miracle. Believe the word of the Lord, stand on his word, get a scripture, and stand on that word, and continue to pray no matter how bad it looks. Even when the doctors give you the bad report, believe in the report of the Lord, which is a good report. And stand in faith, believing for your miracle. And I know God will give them a miracle.
What a story. Is that amazing? Again, amazing story. Doctors wanted to keep her alive just to harvest her organs. Okay, well, obviously that can be good for other people, but sounds a little bit cruel at times. But anyway, God had a better plan than that. You know, he had a praying team of warriors that were calling on his name, and she was there in heaven, and God had a purpose for her to come back and share that testimony with you and me. If you're going through any kind of difficulty right now, any kind of frustration, God is in the turnaround business. If you turn to him, you pray, and you pray persistently, and you pray his word back to him for healing or for life or for turnaround, God is in the business of doing that, because your testimony could save another person's life, save or change another person's life, you know. That's why God keeps us alive, for our testimonies, because that's the greatest reason that people come to Christ, is through the testimony of another person. That's what creates churches, creates organizations, Bible studies. People are touched by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Here's an amazing story. We got two parts of this. This is Bruce Vanetta. Died on three times, this amazing woman. He was split in half under a truck, you know, through the truck getting out of gear, and he's under there trying to repair it. Incredible story. But this young girl comes as a emergency nurse, you know, I guess paramedic type, and slaps him three times, you know. It's amazing. Listen to this story. Listen to the first part of it.
Bruce, I know your background. You were molested as a child. You were headed towards disaster, and you weren't a churchgoer. You went to a Sunday school for the first and only time of your life with your grandparents, and you were told about the love that Jesus has for you, and then shortly thereafter, you were in bed and weeping. Why were you weeping?
Oh, it was a particularly bad night. I was feeling shame, guilt, fear, just all those emotions balled up, guilt, all the stuff that's tied with being molested.
And when you're about ready to hear what I'm going to ask him next, many people get supernaturally healed even as they hear what actually happened to Bruce. What happened?
Well, when I was in that Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher told the story about Jesus hugging the children. And so now you fast forward several months to this night, and as I'm laying there feeling this hurt, this guilt, this pain, the fear that came along with it, that story came back into my mind of what he had said, and I knew there was nobody that was going to give me any affection, attention, or love. So I just simply said, Doubting Thomas prayer, and said, Jesus, if you're real, I want you to come here and hug me like you did those kids in that story. And immediately, I was picked up off the bed, pulled into a chest, and I got a full, like a real hug. But it was so much more, Sid, than just a physical hug. It was like being words. I have a hard time coming up with the words to describe it. But it was like being dipped in liquid love from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And all the guilt and the shame, the fear, all those bad feelings just began to just wash off and wash off. And I woke up the next morning. I fell asleep like that. And I woke up the next morning, and here's five-year-old theology for you. I said, there is something to this Jesus thing.
Now, November 2006, the devil tried to kill you. In fact, he succeeded. Yeah. Bruce died. What happened to you briefly?
Particular day, I was working underneath a large Peterbilt logging truck, as big as any semi-truck you ever find. The other mechanic I was working with who worked for this logging company had removed one of the front wheels. And he had jacked it up, but unfortunately he did not use any safety equipment, no jack stands or blocking. I knew it, and that was my own fault. I still went underneath anyway. I was underneath the truck. I was laying underneath the front axle. That's the lowest part of the truck on these big trucks. 10 to 12,000 pounds of weight just on that front axle. And that jack that's over here as I'm laying underneath it, I said to him, go get inside the truck and shut the engine off. When he did, the truck shifted just enough. The jack slipped out, and that axle, this 10 to 12,000 pounds of weight, came down like a blunt guillotine and crushed my body in half. On impact, blood came out as it fell through me. And I just called out and said, Lord Jesus, help me. I remember saying it twice in case he didn't hear me the first time. And I looked down, and there was about 1 inch of space between the bottom of the axle and the cement. So I knew my body was 1 inch thick here, and there was about 2 inches of space between
one
the bottom.
1 inch.
Yeah. In fact, I was thinner than my spine.
What happened to your organs? Your
spleen, pancreas, intestines, all crushed. Thinner than my spine because L4, L5 vertebrae were broken. Five places, major arteries were severed. I had a flat spot. I looked like something out of a cartoon. In fact, when I looked at myself, that's what I thought. Something out of a cartoon. I'm flat. And as I'm bleeding out and feeling, going into shock, obviously feeling weak, I'm begging him to get me out in front of the truck. He ended up, the guy I was working with ended up jacking the truck up off me. When he jacked the truck up off me, it was at that point that I actually bled out because the truck was holding everything together. It's a volunteer fire department area, so when he dialed 911, guys' pagers are going off, and the first guy gets there and the second guy gets there, and they're asking me questions and talking just a little bit. I was mumbling, and it was at that point my heart stopped. Now, I remember, literally, I heard my heart stop, and it was because I bled out. When it happened, when my heart quit beating, my spirit left my body, I went up on the roof of the garage, and then I watched from above the whole entire thing playing out. And let me say this, when I was in the roof, I felt amazing. There was absolutely no fear, no pain. I felt the most incredible peace I've ever experienced in my entire life. I just watched from above, and on each side of my body were two humongous angels about 8 feet tall. I gauged them off of the guy I was working with, who's about 6 feet tall. Their head stuck up a couple feet taller than his head. Big, broad shoulders, white, shining robes like the Bible talks about, emanating light. And they had their hands in the middle where I was crushed flat. They were just ministering to my body. I'm just watching them from above. One of the last two people that came to the scene of the accident was a two-month-old baby Christian named Shannon. She came in between the angels. She's feeling for a pulse. She asks, I'm watching it all from above. She says, what's his name? They say Bruce Vanetta.
By the way, the 2 month means she'd been a believer for 2 months. She wasn't 2 months.
Right. Right. So she's feeling, and she said, what is his name? And they said, Bruce Vanetta. She begins to pat me in the face and say, Bruce Vanetta, open your eyes. Come on, open your eyes. And she gets louder and louder. I watched as everybody in the place turned and looked at her and gave her the crazy lady look. Like, what are you doing, right? There's no CPR. There's no defibrillator. She just slapped me in the face saying, open your eyes. And as she did, my spirit came back out of the ceiling into my body. And the first thing that happened when I came back in, my heart started. But this incredible pain came. Like, I felt like a truck had fallen on me, right? And I'm crushed in half. And I was like, no, I don't. I don't want this. As soon as I made that decision, my heart stopped again. My spirit left my body. A tunnel opened up going out of the roof of that garage. up about a 45-degree angle, and I could tell there was a bright light on the end of it. And I just got in the tunnel, and I started going towards the light, and I knew that it was heaven on the end of the tunnel. It felt amazing. As I'm going, I could hear her calling my name, come back, come back. Stopped in the tunnel, got sucked backwards, back to the roof of the garage.
You know, we don't know. This is a few-month-old believer. We don't know the power that we, God has entrusted to us.
Amen. I go back into my body, and when I went back in again, the pain comes. I'm feeling all this peace, and now I feel all this pain. But God spoke to me, and he simply said this: if you want to live, you're going to have to fight, and it's going to be a hard fight. And you know what? He didn't sound nervous. He didn't sound scared. He didn't sound upset. Very calmly. It was a choice decision. He gives us free will. And when he gave me the choice, if you want to live, you're going to have to fight. It's going to be a hard fight. The pain was too much. I said no. I left the third and final time. My heart stopped again. Went up on the roof. The tunnel opened up. I got in the tunnel. And as I'm going, I could hear her calling. Now remember, like the zeal of a baby Christian, she keeps praying, and she prays me back to life the third time. When I came back in, I was not happy with this woman at all. When I came back in the third time, she is right here looking at me, and she says, "Mister, you're on the verge of life and death. What do you have to fight for? Do you have a wife? Do you have children?" Now, I knew instinctively inside of me, God was speaking through her, and he was reminding me about my wife and my four young, small children. And I couldn't fight for myself, but I could fight for them. And so I ended up getting med-flighted. Doctors make the claim.
I'll tell you what. Hold that thought. I told you this is one of the most verifiable, creative miracles I have ever, ever, ever investigated. History Channel even did a special on him.
Amazing, amazing, amazing story. Bruce Van Netta, you know, this guy is now a minister today. It's amazing. He's alive. Three times he died, and he shouldn't be able to piece him back together again. He should never have a stomach, never have an intestine. Anyway, you're going to have to hear the rest of the story, because actually God does more miracles through him. Again, don't give up on your needs. Don't give up. Cry out to God. Pursue him. You know, that's what he wants. He loves that. He loves your recognition of him. He loves the fact that you are needing him. You want him. You want a fullness relationship with him. That's what he wants with you. So don't give up. Let's go back to Bruce's story. Listen to the rest here.
You shocked the doc. Doctor didn't expect you to live a night.
Right.
But you lived. And then he says, well, you could live to maybe a year or a year and a half, but it's not going to be a good quality of life. Yeah. But you had a praying wife and friends who prayed for you. And a man came in and laid hands on you. What happened when he did that?
Adults have 18 to 20 some feet length of small intestine. They had removed all of my small intestine because it was so crushed, except for about approximately 2 feet. And so it wasn't enough to live on. They're feeding me intravenously, and that's why they said I was going to not be able to live. So I've lost 65 pounds. I'm dying in the hospital. This man comes to pray. His name is Bruce Carlson. God had gave him, woke him up 2 mornings in a row. I was on a prayer chain at their church, and he woke him up 2 mornings in a row and said, go pray. He bought the ticket. He showed up. He prayed. As you said, he laid on hands. First, he said, Lord, I add my prayers to all the prayers that have already gone up for Bruce. But then he laid on hands, and he began to speak to the mountain. Like Jesus teaches in Mark 11, he said, small intestine, I command you to supernaturally grow back in length right now in the name of Jesus. And when he did, I literally felt like I had touched an electric fence on my forehead. I felt a zap. It was like power went into my forehead, through my head, and into my stomach. And I could feel something cylindrical moving around inside of there. In fact, I turned to a man on the other side of the bed, and I said to him, it just felt like a snake came uncoiled inside of my stomach. What doctors found after doing subsequent tests, because they had done several CAT scans and x-rays and upper GIs. When they tested it later, I got 9 to 11 feet of small intestine, creative miracle, instantaneously that day out of nowhere.
Now, unbeknownst to Bruce, History Channel contacted him to be a guest to tell about his miracle. He did not know that they felt he was a phony. And they were going, the purpose was to expose you. They did all their research, and what did they have to say?
When it was all said and done, out of 24, it was the one that they said, this is a miracle. And this came from atheists.
Atheists?
Atheists. They could not refute all of the medical documentation. That's what they couldn't refute. They said I didn't have out-of-body experience. They said I couldn't have seen angels because they didn't believe in that. But when it came to the medical stuff, five arteries severed, nobody else in the whole world they can find that's ever lived with having five places, major arteries severed, and the intestines growing, they had to admit that was medically a miracle.
We're going to see more and more of this. You were invited to a church that didn't see many miracles, and you had an encounter with Jesus at that church. What happened?
The Lord had me pray for the place. It was a church that never had anybody come forward, and so it was outside of their comfort zone. We invited people forward that had bad backs. The Lord said, pray for the first person, that first lady. God healed her back instantly. So she starts, you know, getting excited. And the Lord said, now have her pray for the next person. So she did. And then the Lord said, the Holy Spirit said, get off to the side, just get away from me. So I went off to the side as they're praying. And every person gets healed. Who prays for the next person who gets healed, and it's 100%. Right down the line, well, the Holy Spirit has me off to the side. I realize I see this ball of light, Jesus, and this big ball of light. And before I knew what I could even do, I was on the carpet with my forehead pressed into the carpet because it was so overwhelming, instantaneous, you know, awesome power of God. And I heard him say, no, come sit next to me. So very carefully, I got up and sat next to him. Now he's sitting on my left, and all the people that are getting prayed for are out, straight out in front of us. And he points his right arm to them, and he said this. He said, do you see that? They don't even know you're gone. And it hurt for a split. I'm like, what does that mean, you know? It was a pride checker, right? But he never dropped his arm. He kept pointing, and he said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go into places and start fires. Tell the testimonies, get them excited about me, and go to the next place and do the same thing. And the Holy Spirit will follow up after that for those who want it. And then he followed. This is how he ended. He said, they don't need a superstar evangelist. They need to know that I love them, and I want to answer their prayers.
But here's the thing that is so exciting to me about Bruce. He's seeing so many creative miracles now, but he is equipping others to do exactly what he does. That's what his commission is. Many are commissioned to be evangelists with signs and wonders. He wants to commission you to move in creative miracles. Tell me briefly about that little baby where the mom...
Sure. So the book, A Miraculous Life, it has the weapons in it, it has the giants, and it's a play-by-play book to teach people how to pray for themselves and authority and use those weapons. So there's a family in New York at a church that I frequent once a year. They went through, they used it as a Bible study. They went through, there was a small group that did the book, and... she couldn't have a baby. They had tried. They had 9 miscarriages. And so I taught them how to pray for to conceive. They did. They prayed over themselves. They were able to conceive. The baby comes, but it's born with a sunken in chest. I showed you the picture. I don't know if we're going to pull it up. There's the picture. It's sunken in. And so the Lord tells her, pray over the baby and take a picture. So this is that night. She prays over the baby the way that we taught her in the book, right? And the way that God teaches in the book. And so... she prays, and then the next morning, the husband wakes up to change the baby, and they take the onesie off, and we have an after picture that came from the next day, and the baby is 100% healed.
You get that? He isn't praying for people. Jesus said, you just start the fire. Watch what I'm going to do through the people.
Is that amazing or not? That is incredible. Can God anoint a man and a woman and other people around them to have healings take place right here on earth? Absolutely. He's in the turnaround business. If you got problems, you got troubles, that's nothing compared to what this guy Bruce Vannetta went through. Amazing stories. Again, this is John Beaner with Inspiration 316. We've been talking about miracles from heaven. We did with the show. We started off with that show, a movie, rather, Miracles from Heaven. You got to see it, from 2016. Jennifer Gardner starred in it, and we had these incredible people dying, coming back to life. Incredible stuff. I'm inspired. How about you? God bless you. See you again tomorrow. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 show with John Beaner. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.